weekend show, my birthday week show. I had to get my guy, Kelly Fullerton, my man, DJ Taylor on the show with me, the Titans. What's good, bro? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling good. Feeling good. Wanted to wish you a happy birthday, a continued happy birthday, obviously. But I feel good, man. It's a disappointing end to the season, but the sun's shining today, and we got to find a way to be productive. So that's the charge.
The thing about your team, DJ, is this, bro, is like your team is young. Like,
yeah.
And with this rule, you can sell them guys 3 or 4 more years, depending on how roster management goes, how guys feeling about playing time, all those different factors. So talk about this, just knowing this year was kind of like, hey, it sucked. We had a lot of pauses. We didn't know what had going on, but hey, we persevered, got through. But guess the thing about it is, at the end of the day, you got these guys locked in for a while that you can build from this.
Yeah, no, I think you know what we did do is basically throw guys out there, and we didn't have any type of training camp or any type of summer practice or anything. So we were kind of doing everything on the fly. And so the motivating thing is just we get all those guys back that kind of already have an idea, but now we're able to put, you know, the building blocks in front of what the big picture is. And so it gives us an opportunity to work with those guys and to be a part of their career, and they can be a part of each other, which is more important. You know, I think we have to understand the team dynamic. You know, this is a team sport, and the sooner we can embrace it and the sooner we're okay with it, we need each other. I think we can expect good things to happen. But, you know, I'm really excited about the opportunity that we have before us. We don't have to go out and get a lot of guys. As you said, we're young. You know, the other thing is just trying to get healthy.
Oh, yes.
The last five games without both of our point guards. You know, that's an excuse or whatever, but
it's facts.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have those guys on the floor. You know, it'll be nice to have them running the show, so to speak, and get us in and out of offense, and you know, just to have your team. I mean, we played basically the whole year without one or two guys that we were kind of counting on. You know, they were hurt, or one of them was hurt and the other one was kind of in and out. And so it's just, you know, it's just one of those deals, man. We're trying to make the best out of it and trying to do what we can. But I do think that the future is bright for Cal State Fullerton basketball, just simply because we do have everybody back, as you mentioned.
And throwing guys into the fire, they had a chance to learn on the fly, trial by fire, because sometimes for certain people, hey, they got to learn it by just being out there. You can only do so much drill work, so much film work. They got to go out there and experience it against another live body and see how it all works together. So I feel like just having that on film to work with them on this season, develop them, is like going to be so for you guys, so good down the road for you guys, so you all will be okay next year, because these guys had to deal with some stuff that they didn't plan on, different positions that they ain't used to playing, but they got it on film now. You guys can use it to say, hey, it's teachable moments here to get better down the road.
Definitely. I think the film is the best teacher. Other than it, you know, it's a part of the experience, but I think other than them doing it and going against live bodies, as you mentioned, but live bodies that want to beat them, that's also a different dynamic. But, you know, we'll use the film. And I was on Instagram last night and saw one of our players working out or doing some stuff. And, you know, I made a comment, you know, if you cared as much about defense as you do about your offense, you might have a chance to be a player, you know? And so that's something that we definitely have to shore up, and we've got to be better at it. Not because we have to, but because we can. This is a group that I think can be good defensively. You know, offensively is not the question. We can score with our eyes closed. I mean, shucks, every game that we played was in the 80s. You know, and I think this is the first year that we have not been as good as I thought we could be from a defensive standpoint. And that's an area that we've got to get better. And again, to me, it's not about talent. It's the desire and the will and the want to actually lock down and do what we're supposed to from a concept standpoint. So, again, I'm anxious to see what this group can put together. And, you know, it's one of those gifts and a curse. If we get it right, you know, we can be good, but we can also get it wrong. You know, when you're dealing with people, they can come in with all these different types of attitudes and different agendas. And so that's an area that we need to be better in and make sure that we're all on the same page so that we can work towards, you know, finding a level of success.
And trust me, on the NBA level, as you know, I deal with that all the time, the lack of defense. I know what that is firsthand.
I don't even know what defense is at that level, especially with that.
So yeah, so I see that every day. I know what that is every day. So yeah, man, and y'all can see it's a want to thing. Like defenses want to, but defense is something that can travels whether you home or away. It travels because sometimes you it's make or miss people. Sometimes you're gonna miss that night, but if you're defending like crazy, giving energy and effort, you can still win games.
Yeah,
so that's all that matters. And I feel like if young men get that in their head, say, hey, if we defend, even when they go in the hole, we can get out of transition, get easy layups, and still score and win the game that way. We can't make it by bombing away, hitting threes or in our regular offense.
Yeah, no, I think you spoke it like a guy that's seen it happen a lot, you know, and the hard part is just trying to get guys to buy into the fact that defense does travel. It's the other way around for these guys and for this younger generation. They feel like, hey, I can hit a three here or hit a three here and that'll get us back on track. No, it's actually not. Because if you miss those two threes that you just took, 9 times out of 10, the other team is going down and they're going to score, you know? And so those are things that this group, my group particularly, has to understand that defense does travel no matter where you are, no matter what you play. And then I said this to our group, you know, we played at the MGM or the Mandalay Bay Sports Events Center or whatever. I said, you know, the funny thing is I took a tape measure out and the court is the same width, it's the same length, and the rims are the same height as where we play on a regular basis. So don't do anything different. Do the same stuff that we've been talking about, the same stuff that we've been preaching and teaching you guys. And like you said, you know, the defense part of it travels, you know, and it saves you. And it allows you to be in games. It allows you to win games. But if you don't defend, it allows you to be home early. And we suffer the consequences of that. And the big part about that is just making sure that our guys understand, hey, man, we had a chance, but we didn't play any defense. And hopefully we can get better for that. And we can buy into that aspect, you know, the buy-in part. You know, you can do it. It's just whether or not you want to do it and it means enough to you to do it. And that's always the question.
I'll give you an example of myself, Deidre. I was great as a wide receiver in football. Basketball was my second sport. And to play, I wasn't gifted as I was in football, but I had to defend like crazy, make corner threes, make jump shots, and hustle like hell to be on the court.
No doubt.
And I did that because I knew I wasn't as talented off the dribble as I wanted to be. So I small time catch in football, and so I did basketball. But I could shoot like crazy. I could defend and give effort and energy. So that's why I played in high school, knowing that it was my second sport. But I still played because I could shoot and defend like crazy and gave effort because I knew that's why I could be on the court. So I wasn't gifted just to be out there and just be out. Yeah, JR can score like crazy, but he can't. But so cause I wasn't that guy. I was you wanted to run me off the line. That was my game. I'm a set shooter. I got to pull up and do a dribble. I may make it if I'm wide open. If I got some pressure, I might leave it short. So that was my game, to tell you. But I knew that if I had wanted to play, if I was defending like crazy, making open shots, I'd be in the court. So I feel like young guys can understand that knowing your role, knowing your limitations, and knowing what you can do, and do that well, you'd be in the court and help your team win.
Yeah, now you can come and give our pregame speech. You can give our postgame speech. You can give any speech. The key word is that you knew in order for you to play, that's what you had to do. You knew that. If you wanted to play, that's what you had to do. And I think these guys in particular, I'm talking about our guys, and is that they don't buy into that. They would rather make up an excuse and say, oh, well, coach this and coach that. And you can blame me. I don't, like we said before, I don't care. Blame me. At some point, you're going to have to look that man in the mirror yourself and realize, you know what, I didn't do my part. And hell, you might not, and that's cool with me too. But understand, I'm gonna give you all of the answers to the test to have success. Whether you buy into those things, that's up to you. I'm not gonna argue with guys anymore. I'm not gonna try to convince you anymore. I don't need to, I don't have to. It's already proven that if you do these things, you can have success. As you mentioned, you know, you knew, as a player, if you wanted to be on the court, you had to defend, you had to play with energy, you had to play with effort. And offensively, if you make corner threes and jump shots, you are a problem. But it starts with the buy-in of knowing, one, who you are, and number two, buying into that person. And then number three, being that person consistently, every single day, being that person. And that's something that I think Guys don't understand, one of our assistant coaches, Brandon Dunson, he said this when he first got here. He said, you know, rookies in the NBA or rookies that play professionally, they try to show you every move they have, and they want to do all these different things, and they think they can beat you. Versus a veteran, they know, hey, I can do this one thing, and I'm going to beat you with it time and time and time and time again. And that's the difference between rookies and veterans, in my opinion. You know, veterans, they get those contracts, and they get those big contracts. Rookies, hopefully they can figure it out. But they don't start out that way. They start out trying to, you know, in one possession, they want to show you a step back cross and a snatch and this and that. And I'm like, man, don't nobody pay for that, dude.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how I made teams, making jump shots and giving engineer for defending. I took us off. That's how I made teams. You're like, right. I could have walked on the teams to take the first if I wanted to, but I wanted to focus on my main thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you that effort.
No doubt.
Because I went to Sal Alexander's basketball camps. He saw me for years, and he knew what I was.
Sure.
But I came for something else.
No doubt.
And so I tell people, I play this all the time. Look, if you just find your niche, find your role, and be the master at your role, and then also try to expand your game. And then for me, I didn't do that because I was focused on playing baseball and football, and I knew I was really good at football. I just go play D1 or FCS in football. My grades were terrible. I'll admit that. I had a 1.34 GPA, D. ACT was a 15. So I screwed myself for some opportunities.
Yeah, gotta love it.
But I can admit it and know it. So as long as you're honest with yourself, young men, I listen to this show. If you're honest with yourself and hold yourself accountable, you'll be okay, because I knew what I was and what I wasn't. Because my father, which is Big J, was not going to let me do anything but be real with myself. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that's, you know, for people that are listening and for guys that are wanting to be or wanting to aspire, if they just listen to that little bit of snippet, they can make a lot of money, because you understood, hey, I'm not going to be able to get away with all of these things. So I'm going to focus on one or two things. And then, you know what? I made a mistake. I didn't go to class. I didn't take care of academics. But there's still a way to find success in that. There's junior college route. There's all these different routes, but you have to accept who you are. I wasn't the best student. Okay, cool. There's an answer for that. There's a way to find success with that. And you've done it. Heck, I didn't know you were, you know, you had such a low GPA, especially not talking to you now. I mean, one of the smartest men I know.
1.34, D. I didn't apply myself. I did not apply myself. I cared about the football field, the basketball court, and the baseball field.
Yep.
And the tennis court, too, because I was playing tennis as well. I played four sports all around. And I let academics slide, and also women. And I tell guys that. I don't hide it. I'm not a guy going to tell you nothing. I've been into your shoes, young man. Yep. And I've grown from it to where I am today. I know where I used to be and where I came from and what I had to do. But one thing, I'm always going to be real about it. You know, I'm not going to BS you about where I came from. I won't even understand that, hey, if JR can do it, who grew up marginalized, who didn't try, and look where I am today. I can tell D off the air. I had my show since January 2012. And it's March 2021. Look how I've grown this thing to where it is today.
Yep.
It wasn't done by osmosis. It was done by being accountable, hard work, being smart, and taking risk when I had to take risk.
No doubt. No doubt. And I don't think people highlight what you've done or highlight the risk or highlight how calculated you are. You know, being where you were and being where you are now, there's a lot of stuff that happened, a lot of growth, but people don't understand that. They only see the here and now, where you are now, and that's who they want to be. They don't want any part of the sleepless nights or the game planning. Hey, I got to be up. I haven't slept in, you know, 2 days, and I still got to be up.
Work in the graveyard show, 2 or 6 a.m. No, I listen to your. I'm just out there 2 or 6 a.m. No, listen to our show 2 or 6 in the morning. Come on, I'm like, I got truckers listening to my show.
Yeah.
Doing 4 hours, 2 a.m., 6 in the morning?
Yep. People don't understand that. They don't want to buy into that because there's growth in that, in my opinion. There's a lot of growth, personal growth for you, and teaching you and showing you how to do this and how to do that. And it's important that you grasp those concepts, because now, I mean, you can write your own ticket. You literally can write your own ticket now because of the things that you've learned and the things that you've been through, and understanding those things and then buying into to those things. And yeah, being okay with making mistakes, being okay with learning from those mistakes and then being better for having made those mistakes. And that's what people, in my opinion, that's what I would love for people to understand and to have an appreciation for, is there's nothing perfect about life.
Nothing
perfect about life. And so let's take this thing that we think is perfect, that is imperfect, and let's try to get as close as we can to perfection. We're never going to get it, but at least we can get as close as we can to it. And then after that, you know, do what you do, you know,
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly. Like you said, D, for all the young men out here listening, I just want to tell you, Deidre is a college coach who's very, very bright, great mind, and he nurtures nurtures kids, makes them better. This guy's had 26 pros come out of his program. And our friendship, I get to bring him to you all and give you free game. Because this is part of me giving back to the community, because I had Big J, but I didn't have many people beyond Big J. I had Frankie Allen, Cy Alexander. I had Paul Hewitt around, right? Yeah. But I'm bringing you guys people who can help you if you do the right things, and going to give you free game on this show, because they trust in me and in this platform here, what I've grown here since 2012 in January.
Yeah.
January 8th, 2012, my first show ever.
That's crazy. I hope people understand, your listeners will understand what you've been through. And I want to highlight and focus, you know, on the grind. You know, everybody says the grind, and then we're putting in work. And the grind is not Instagram famous. The grind and the work is not putting it on Instagram just because you made a shot or just because you made a right decision. The grind is, again, I go back to those sleepless nights.
Mm-hmm.
Those opportunities where you are not sure if you are going to make it, but you make a decision. And that decision becomes, yes, I made it thus far. Now I have to go from here to there. And there's decisions with that, some good, some bad. But again, I want to highlight just, you know, the grind to me means something completely, totally different. You know, just I see it on Instagram or social media all the time. You know, just because it's not on social media doesn't, it means that it doesn't happen or didn't happen. That's not true. That's not true. There are a lot of people out there that make it happen, you know, minus social media. There are people on social media that are willing to tell you what it was about or how it happened or do what we're doing, sitting talking, you know, but unless you roll up your sleeves and tighten up your boots, man, you're going to live a different lifestyle. Somebody else is going to tell you how to get up or when you have to get up or when you have
definitely.
To be. And people don't, and I shouldn't say people, I didn't understand the significance and the importance and value of your own time. I was having this conversation with a longtime head coach and friend of mine, and you know, the difference between being a head coach and being an assistant. You can say what all you want to say, all these things, but one of the areas is that you get your own time.
Yes.
Your own time. If you want to lay in the bed and not do nothing until 9:45 and then get on a Zoom, you can do that.
You sure
as
can.
A head coach. But as an assistant, I don't know if you can do that. You know, you got to do other stuff to prepare. And
yes.
You know, it's a whole different thing.
And you know what, D? This show's consistent, as you know. Like, nobody books me college basketball coaches than I do every week. I don't care if it's Jeff Goodman, Rothstein, whoever. I talk to my college coaches in basketball, and nobody does it more than me. I've looked at it. I don't care who it is. They can't compete with me. I have top coaches from Power Fives, low majors, mid majors, every week on my show, because I decided I want to make my niche that way, because I'm already in the NBA. I ain't got to chase the NBA if I want. That's too easy. Let me do something and give back to people who don't get the plug they need, who don't get the good media they need, because you and I both know only something bad happens or you win that they come talk to you.
No doubt.
Not because they want you. You know?
No doubt. That is 1,000% true.
And it's on Facebook for you every day.
True.
It's on Facebook for you every day. Instagram, yeah. I'll show you the work. And see, young men, listen out here. You got put in, show good work. Don't be about the glitz and glam. Folks know me because what? JR covers these teams the right way. He doesn't give you gotcha yeah. questions. It's about yeah. your program, the people, and you, and life in general. And so, D, as you know, you've been on the show, I don't know, 8-9 times probably since we've been talking to each other, right? You know how I operate, bro. Like, and if guys want to come on the show, which some of them don't, that's their loss. Because I'm here in Atlanta, not marketing the country, and I'm going to yeah. make you look good. I'm not sure. going to give you anything to make you look bad. You see, yeah. I laugh people tell me no. It's funny to me.
It's amazing. Actually, I was about to ask you, like, people actually tell you no. They say, no, I'm not going to come on your show?
Yes.
What's wrong with them?
Some of them Power Five. Some of them have gotten bigger jobs in mid-majors and say no to me now. Oh, yeah.
That is, to me, that's the epitome of stupid.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
I hate to say it, but that's that. I hate to say it, but it needs to be said. That's the epitome of stupid. Like, why wouldn't you get on this type of show to highlight or to talk about whatever? It doesn't matter what you guys are talking about. I see it all the time in terms of, you know, the information that you put out. And I'm like thinking to myself, dang, how did JR get him on the show? Dang, JR got him on the show. And because you have them on the show, it makes me tune in because I want to hear what those guys have to say.
Yes.
But, and you know, people that don't want to do what we're doing right now, to me, I would shy away from them. I'd erase them off. I would erase them out of my phone.
D, let me tell you something. I give these people a window, as I give you, from 11 to 5 Eastern time, Monday through Friday. You mean to tell me that insert coach can't find 20 minutes within 25 hours a week to join me? Or, okay, even if it's outside of the windows, how about I'm open doing early in the morning or later at night?
Yeah.
So to me, it's just either the SID trying to have a power play or the coach is a dumbass.
No, and the funny thing is, and this is where it really, really bothers me, is that those same people, they're not going to be successful forever. They're going to need you on their way down. And if you ignore it on your way up, then you can expect it to be ignored on your way down. So when they call you and tell you, hey, I want to get on your show, you know what I'm going to say.
It's already happened.
Yeah, telling the line them rocks up.
It's already happened. It's already happened. Like, I will not by saying any names.
Yeah.
A certain coach left a certain university that I have a very relationship with. The university, either him or the SID, I can't get him on the show.
Really?
I've texted him. It's on red, so you know I won't have him on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say the name, but I'll say off the air. But yeah, it's a certain coach who I talk to a lot.
Yeah.
Left the school he was at. JR ain't nothing no more. It happens, bro. Some of these guys get jobs that you see on my show. Watch them. When I try to hit them up, hey, I want to have you on the show because you got a new job.
Yeah.
You'll see who it is. Because some people who, it's funny, D, I look every carousel. Someone getting new jobs and they don't talk to JR no more.
Well.
Leave me on red. I'm like, okay.
Tell you what, when they fire me and I'm outside picking up garbage and doing what I'm doing, I'm still listening. And if you want to put me on, I will always be on the show. And I'm not just saying that because of what we're talking about. I'm saying that because this is important to me. For us to look like we look, to have a conversation that we're having, literally we are giving away different perspectives of keys to success. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. You know,
that's what we're talking about. We have a conversation off the air or on text or we talk on the phone. That's between you and I. But when we get in this space, the information that is shared is a way, not the way, a way
yes.
to have success. It's just my perspective. It's your perspective. But yes. you have umpteen people on your show and people are, that to me, that says you don't want to be successful. You don't want what's out there. And it's free. All you got to do is click on it.
Yeah.
It's not money, you know.
I don't charge for content.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I'm blessed already. I don't need people's money.
Yeah.
My job is to give back through the gift of radio and content.
Yeah.
And provide people with knowledge like Cliff Albright, Black Voices Matter, or the senators from Georgia. I'm trying to get them on the show. or a congresswoman. I got to take that interview next week. So I'm trying to step up my game here and give back even more to our community because of guys like Lori Pierce, who I love dearly. Yeah. He inspired me to get more in politics. He really did.
No doubt.
Because seeing him out there, okay, Jared can do the same thing too. Because unlike Coach Pierce, I have a platform where I'm not shackled by a certain hat or a team.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about that is that, you know, we all have a platform. We all. Some of us are bigger, some of us are smaller, but we all have a platform to have these kinds of conversations. And I've never heard you say, hey, you need to do this politically, or you have to do this. Like, in my opinion, you are trying to expose the information and give the information and let people choose whatever they will. And that's fine, but do something. Don't just sit back and criticize, and don't just sit back and like do something, get in the fight one way or the other, one side or the other. Like, and I want to say this also, like George Raveling, I've known him for some time. And Coach Raveling has, you know, he's a mentor and you know, he's a friend of mine. And literally, I'm still like, I just got off the phone with him probably 2-3 days. I am blown away, Coach. He called me. I didn't call him. He called me. And like, here it is, this guy with all of this information. And never does he say, hey, D, you need to do this. Or, hey, D, you should do this. All he's doing is just giving me information for me to make up a decision. And I noticed that over the course of our relationship, like Coach Raveling, you know what? He's never said that I should do this. And he's sitting like 3 or 4 seats well above where I would love to go from a success standpoint. So yeah, he could say, hey, you need to do this and this. He never says that. And we're talking about Coach George Raveling, yes. Like he's so big time. He has Martin Luther King's original I Have a Dream speech. You realize that? Like the document, like of Martin Luther King writing.
Wow.
Coach Raveling has it. And not that that's a big deal, but that is a ginormous deal.
Oh, it's a big deal.
That's a ginormous deal. And like he'll never tell you that unless you ask him, unless you bring it up. But again, like he's a historical monument that we have the chance to access. And to me, like for us not to access that, however you do, I just think it's just not utilizing all of the resources that you have at your disposal.
And see, I'm about being fair. And I'll tell you, I have invited people on the other side on my show. They tell me no.
Yeah.
I invited the one I also points on my show, Loeffler and Purdue. I was told you don't see it our way, so no.
Yeah, of course.
So to be fair, I reach out to every school to have their coach on, even Duke, North Carolina. They tell me no.
Yeah.
But I do reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a form message to D. It's not even actually a real person. It's a copy paste, a auto reply. Due to Coach K's schedule, blah, 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 blah. He can't give. How about you run it by him?
Right.
Because I have relationships with Kenny Blakeney, mm-hmm. people who are close to him.
Yeah.
You know, I've had Johnny Dawkins on my show, Jeff Capel. So I have guys in my network who would vouch for me to Coach K if they would actually look at the request.
No doubt. No doubt.
I provide links. I talked to Coach Capel, Coach Blakeney many a times, and Coach Dawkins.
No doubt.
I give proof when I reach out and have somebody on my show because I book my own show. People don't realize that I book my own show. I don't have a booker.
Right.
Because I know who I want to talk to each week.
Exactly.
I don't want nobody to try to read my mind for me.
No doubt. Ain't nothing like doing what you think is important because people need to hear that. And that's your prerogative. It's your show. So you are doing what you think is necessary for us to consume the information that you are giving to us. It's up to us to make good with the information.
Yeah, and so, D, it's just funny in your profession, man. It's funny how I've also been told, it's funny, I'm going to tell you some background story here. A coach told me, and I quote, you're too close to guys in my conference, so I don't trust you. Really? I have a radio show. I have to talk to people. I can't just talk to you. Mm-hmm. It'd be okay and have a good show still. Mm-hmm. It's about talking to everybody. Yes, yeah. I'm closer to some guys than others. But don't mean you don't can't trust, because in my main job, I have to keep stuff private.
Right.
Or right. I'll lose my job. So so when my main job is keeping stuff confidential, I think I'm gonna give people I know your plays. If you make a call out on my show, that's on you, not me. I didn't take the call out of play. But if you do that, that's on you. So it's like it's funny the crap I hear from certain guys. You're too close to him. He's been on your show all these many times. Like, really? You keeping count?
Right. That just tells you that that word trust, they're not, in my opinion, they're not using it as it says to be, you know, the definition of trust. They're using it as a defense mechanism. I don't trust you. You don't trust yourself.
Exactly.
If you call out a play on a show, it's not like I can't, as a coach, if I hear it, I can go to Synergy and see what you're running. Like, shut up.
Yes. It's funny. Like, it's like, are you serious? I can example with you. Me, I met you first, but I'm still cool with Danny and John. But it don't mean that you don't trust me because I'm cool with them too.
No doubt. No doubt. Like,
that's what this guy was saying pretty much. Like, really?
Yeah. And the one thing I have learned, JR, throughout this whole pandemic and social unrest and all these things, and I do want to say this, like we've talked about a little bit, but I've learned there are always, you know, a different perspective than yours. People don't agree with you all the time, you know, or they share a different perspective because they come from a different place and they're different. They have a different experience that allowed them to have that perspective. And the one thing I do, or one thing that I've noticed over the course of this year or 2 years, is just that you don't always have to agree with that perspective, but you have to acknowledge it if you are being true and fair. And there's a relationship that I want to refer to that I have, and it's continuing to grow. And it's rooted, like, we are two totally opposite people. He's white, I'm black. I'm Democrat, he's Republican. Like, our political beliefs are completely, totally different. Like, if you saw him and you saw me there, you'd be like, they have nothing in common. But he's become one of my closest confidants. And the reason is because of honesty and trust. And he can tell me, hey, D, I don't believe that. I don't think that. And it makes me think, wow, maybe he doesn't understand, or if he does understand, it's totally fine. It's rooted, our relationship is rooted in a level of honesty where we can agree to disagree and be okay with it. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. And it's honestly, it's probably one of the most profound, prophetic relationships that I have, because it's rooted in honesty. Like, when we get off the phone and if you hear us talk, you think we've been friends for a long time, because we laugh and joke. And then all of a sudden you'll hear, you know, we'll be serious for a moment and we'll talk about X, Y, and Z. And then all of a sudden we'll agree to disagree or agree on the matter and move on. But we're still friends because he knows that I'm going to be honest. I know that he's going to be honest. He's going to tell me what he thinks. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to tell me anything that he wouldn't normally say, because he doesn't, you know, that he doesn't feel. And he's not worried that, well, D's going to think this. I appreciate that opinion and that perspective. I don't agree with it, but I appreciate the fact that you trust me enough to tell me and share and help me see the whole picture, because you and I might agree. There are other people out there that don't agree. Mm-hmm. And so they're, And all I'm saying is we have an opportunity to agree to disagree, but at the end of the day, we still have to be productive. Yes. And that, in my mind, is like, that's where a lot of people they miss out on the opportunity. You know, we're not productive, and it's never me and him or you and I. It's not about us. It's for the people that can't necessarily speak. They don't get the same opportunities that you and I have. And so it's, to me, it's bigger. It's much bigger than that.
It's funny. I spell all the time. I can talk to you anytime I want to. Talk to Jason Hooten. Pat Kelsey. I can talk to, you know, Lon Kruger. I can talk to all these different guys. Matt Driscoll. Like, all you guys are all different. But we all have a friendship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul Mills and I, we love Houston together. You know, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's funny that, hey, Dustin Kearns, laid back dude. He's a Santa Clara guy. So he's cool with LP. Like, we had that in common. So all the different coaches I talk to, we have commonality. We become friends. Like, it's like Greg Herrenda. Who would think I'll be friends with Greg Herrenda?
Yeah.
You know, but we both are excitable guys. We got energy. We love each other. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my show allowed me to meet people like you, build relationships with people like yourself and other people in the college basketball because of just this platform and me being a real guy and being straight up with you guys. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm only trying to help.
No doubt.
And that's what I love, that we can talk like friends. Like, I can talk to, you know, like I said, just a little about the Jaguars, you know what I'm saying? Donnie Tindall, even. People don't like him that much anymore, but still, he's a good friend of mine. You know, I can talk to him about whatever, you know? So it's like, it's just Darren Horn, even, you know? Mike Davis, Andy Tuchel. Like, I can name guys that I've, Todd Lee, South Dakota. You know what I'm saying? They're cool? Yes! We're great! It's like, it's all love and just having a good time on the air. Kyle Keller, even another guy, Joe Golden in championship, Austin Clunch, all these guys I talk to. We're all good. Yeah. We all come to different backgrounds, but guess what? On this show, off the air, on the air, we're like one, man. It's all a big family.
No doubt. No, not. I think that's to be applauded. Because people do trust you. And then when I say people, like all the people that you've named, you are bonded. They recognize that, but they trust you. They trust the information that they give you, or they trust that, you know, you're going to take care of the relationship between them and you're going to protect that relationship. And people need to feel comfortable with that and be okay with that. And then they also need to recognize when you can't trust a person because they're not going to protect the relationship. And then you need to act accordingly. So I don't know, man. It's crazy.
And you know what, D, I want to tell you, hey, 100 win this year, brother. Congrats on that, man, because a black coach with 100 wins is amazing.
Yeah.
Some of us don't make it that far to get 100 wins.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, and I say this, I've said this since it happened. I say, you know, the 100 wins, what does that really, really mean? And I think time has passed to where I have a different level of appreciation in the same area that you just talked about. Like, some people don't ever get to see that. Some people don't experience that. And so the way that I experience it is probably a little bit different and maybe unique. And I want to say some things that we've already said, but I take pleasure in the fact that we have a 92% graduation rate. I take pleasure in the fact that within those 100 wins, we have gone to the NCAA tournament. I take pleasure in the fact that we have 26 pros. I take pleasure in the fact that Danny Sprinkle is playing tonight for an NCAA tournament bid, and he was a part of our program. John Smith, who beat my ass last week, Tuesday, to eliminate us from the Big West tournament. You know, as hurtful as that is, that's the competitor in me. But I also take pleasure in the fact that we worked together. We were a part of that, and so that's what 100 wins to me means. You know, it means the fact that we have a group of graduate managers, and their relationship with each other. Like, they don't know each other. They didn't know each other from Tom. Like they had no idea who each other was, but now it's like they have a bond. And that bond is, you know, some of the things that we've been through, some of the things that we've done. And it's like now to where, like, even as a head coach, like, I know when those guys are not in practice. When they're not in practice, for me, I get nervous. I'm like, where's Colin? Where's Alex? And they're like, Coach, don't worry about it. No, I worry about it because that's what 100 wins. I can't do what it is that we do together without those guys. I need them.
Yes.
So make sure they're here. Like, go get them. What are they doing?
Yes. You know, like
that. And just, again, like we could be in the middle of practice and Colin or whomever could be, you know, they're doing a food run. I'll notice that and I'll ask, hey, where are those guys? Where's Rob? Well, what are they doing? We're practicing. And it's part of to help our program run. They're doing their job, but that to me is way more important than the public barometer of 100 wins. You know, the public uses that to determine your success, and I don't. It's cool, it's nice, but those guys and their relationship and their growth and their development is way more important to me than this public 100 wins. But it's cool, you know, because I sit now and we're coming up on our version of Black Monday, so to speak. You know, different guys will start to lose their opportunities and so on and so forth. And so it takes a little bit of a different form for me, because those guys won't be able to pursue what it is, those 100 wins or whatever they're
most definitely.
And so, yeah, it takes a different, it'll take a different form, and we'll celebrate it maybe differently. But again, it's just, you know, what I get excited about is just, you know, doing this, sitting and talking about things that we've been through, things that are hard and things that we celebrate. You know, there are a million people in my phone that I just get some type of encouragement, encouraging them. It encourages me, you know, and that could be the young guy in me and the church upbringing, so to speak. But that's what 100 wins means to me. Like that's a long-winded answer.
No, it's a great answer. Cause see, this is funny. Cause I have my own show. You have all the room you want. I'm not bound by a hard out or a short break here coming up here.
No doubt.
AR is syndicated on his own. He's bound by close in an hour. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, I digress from that.
Yes. And I'll tell you this, D. I've been talking to you for the last 5 years on this show, man. You want the closest dude I'm closest to is you. I'm gonna be real with you.
Yeah.
I talk to you about stuff. I talk to very few people. I talk to stuff about. I talk to you about very few people. I tell very few people. So I want you to know that I'm serious about that. Yeah. You're a part of my inner circle for real. Like I tell you stuff. I tell a lot of people. I tell you off the record, brother. You are my inner circle for real.
Definitely.
I mean it.
Vice versa, you know. And the thing I respect most is that our relationship, again, is rooted in honesty. I'm not talking to a media personality. I'm not talking to this guy that wants information. I'm talking to you. And so what it does is it allows me to be me.
Yes.
It undresses everything and I can be me. And that's when you can really get me and feel comfortable. You know, I was with my mom last night and I'm 46 years old and I was telling her a story. And I said a cuss word and it just came out. Dude, I was so nervous. I drove around the parking lot twice and couldn't figure out how to get out. Like literally couldn't figure out how to get, because I'm nervous. My mom, she's probably 5'3", 5'4", but I know she will beat my neck because of what I said.
Yes.
But again, like I have to be a certain way with my mom. I can't do that with her as I can with you. You know, it's totally, totally different. And I recognize that and I'm super, super appreciative, but I thought I was about to lose my life last night. I said some words, man. I was like, wow, did you just say that? Who's in the car?
Yes. Yes. I got one more thing for you, D, before you go. Ozzie Brown got a job at Wichita State. Terrence Johnson got at Texas State. Lavelle Sanders, I actually had him on the show this week, Lavelle Sanders at Binghamton. So tell us, I mean, we lost two great men, Anthony Stewart and Lou Hill, but we did gain Terrence Johnson, Lavelle Sanders, and now Ozzie Brown at Wichita State with great jobs here.
I think it speaks miracles, not miracles, but I think it speaks wonders for who they are and what they've endured. You know, if you're familiar with Terrence Johnson and the situation that he endured, if you're familiar with Wichita State and Coach Brown and what they endured, for them to continue to find a level of success and continue to stand up and be who they are, it speaks volumes. And the guys that are in their program, the players that are in their program, the assistant coaches, for them to see those guys every single day and gain some type of knowledge, I think it just says who they are as men. It says who they are as Black men. But it shows that they can lead, and they have this opportunity, and I couldn't be more excited for them. Like literally, I want to quit my job and go work for them and be a part of what they're doing just because of, what they've been through, what they've endured and lessons that they've learned. And then what's going to be taught because of the lessons that they learned, you know, for them to stand up and say, hey, I did this, and people forget, you know, like Coach Brown, they won the conference. Mm-hmm. Terrence Johnson, they won the conference. It's not a situation where they were gifted these opportunities. They had to prove. They had to show. You know what I'm saying? Like that to me speaks. I mean, it says a lot for them, and I'm so happy that they got the opportunity, and excited for them in the future. And I mean, and I'm probably more excited for the young men that they have a chance to be a part of their success track. You know, just watching them and being a part of their recruiting and all that stuff. I'm excited for them and excited for this opportunity for them.
And folks, that's my man, D Taylor, my man D. Hey, I had to have him on my birthday week, man. I'm glad an unnamed guest back that I can fill in with Deidre Taylor, man. So I'm not going to mention the unnamed guest who will be getting a bigger job real soon.
Yeah. Tell him I said thank you. Tell him I said thank you. And I am for hire. I am for hire. Just in case he was wondering or anybody out, I am for hire. Councilman Fullerton wants to hire me and re-up our contract. Hey, I'm for hire. I am for hire. Just in case anybody wanted to know that.
So, in the birthday week with a great guest like this, man, my guy, DJ Taylor, one guy that's been in our circle, a friend of mine, talk about life, our crappy football teams.
And they are crappy.
An unnamed non-defending sucker who I won't say their name. So, you know, all I'm going to say is that, hey, it's only popping, sucker. I got my show no matter what you do, sucker.
No doubt, right? No doubt. Let them know. Let them know. Folks,
check us out at BostonShow.com. D, thank you, brother. You my guy, man. I appreciate so much.
And I appreciate it. I definitely appreciate the opportunity and just the genuineness in the conversation. I definitely appreciate it. It goes without mention that you mean the world to me. So I appreciate it.
No doubt, folks. Check my man out. CSF Coach Taylor on Twitter. Follow him, his program, the Titans. We good.
Appreciate it. Peace.